Hey guys, I wanted to make this episode because I am sure that many of you, like myself, have seen the movie Leave the World Behind, which is directed by Sam Esmail. I also know that there are a lot of people who will be traveling for the holidays. So here is a very interesting thought that I have about predictive programming. And I will be focusing more on books rather than on movies, as people often do with this topic. And I can assure you that whatever you're thinking about or whatever you think this is going, it's probably not going to go there. So sit back and enjoy this episode. What is predictive programming? I obviously have my own definition, but I want to use the definition of Daria Beaver. And this is for a post that she did on 2018 for the Ohio State University on their blog for The Psychology of Extraordinary Beliefs. So according to her, predictive programming is a theory that the government or other higher ups are using fictional movies or books as a mass mind control tool to make the population more accepting of planned future events. And I think that it is very important for me to interject here and just make it very clear that while I do believe in this concept to some degree, I am not one of those modern famous podcasters, and I use the word famous loosely, by the way, who are known to throw out crazy conspiracy theories for the purpose of creating fear. So again, this is something that I have believed on for years. In no way, shape, or form do I believe that this is being done to create a totalitarian government or to subdue ourselves to the beliefs of lizard people, or that we are all going to be sacrificed by the elites. This is literally going to be the cute, soft advocate girl version of that. So now that we got that out of the way, we can move on. So I just want to go ahead and start with Leave the World Behind, right? Because it's the most recent movie and everybody's been talking about why there is so much blue, the Obamas made it. And again, this movie was directed by Sam Esmail. And I just want to talk a little bit about Esmail. His work is iconic. It includes Mr. Robot, Comet, which, by the way, this movie got a very low score on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was very upset about that, but only the elemental hardcore lovers will understand this movie, okay? And he's also done shows like Homecoming. And so right off the bat from his work, you can totally tell that he is into this type of stuff, and he most probably likely believes it too. Also, a quick note, if you have not seen this movie, please go ahead and watch it and come back, because this is going to be major spoiler alert. And so the premise of the movie is basically a white family that is staying at an Airbnb away from the city. And I hate that I have to mention races, but they do play an important role in the overall message. The original owners of the Airbnb show up and they are black, right? And after this tug of war of paranoia between them, are they really the owners? Are they not? And as you are watching, as a viewer, of course, you're also understanding the complicated existence of both of these families. And a lot of these issues, again, they're being created by a lack of trust. And you are also behind watching small bits and pieces of basically things going wrong across the country, right? The internet is down, the TV is down, phones are not working properly. The bottom line is that no matter how many scary story stuff is happening to both of these families, they still cannot work together. And at the end, we never really truly find out what is happening. But basically, the theory that is shared by George, one of the characters, which is the character played by Mahershala Ali, is that it is a coup orchestrated by who knows who, because, you know, as Americans, we have tons of enemies, and the girls hate us. What can we say, right? And so all they had to do was cut communication and technology, and Americans will basically do the rest. We would basically collapse and crumble and choke and throw up, pretty much. And panic, become disoriented, be ill-prepared, refuse to work together, be racist, and kill each other. Basically doing the job for whoever created this mess, and obviously other families across the country. Now, I just want to go ahead and say this. I know that there was a lot of talk about why is there so much blue. I have no idea why there's so much blue. If you're coming to this podcast thinking that I'm going to answer that for you, I'm sorry, I don't have an idea. I don't have an answer, and you may never get one. I honestly, my theory about that is that, you know how when you go to the therapist, there's always a blue couch or there's stuff that's blue. Blue makes you feel safe. That's how I feel. Now, there were some crazy people that were saying, oh, because remember like those fires that happened in Florida, the only houses that didn't burn down were the ones that were blue. I was like, yeah, that's too far for me. But I guess my thoughts, my critical analysis, logical reasoning, it stops because I didn't see that. The only thing that I could like connect it to is therapy. If you look up predictive programming, leave the rest will come out, leave the world behind Reddit. You don't even have to finish typing it. So obviously there are a lot of people that connected both of these concepts together, especially again when they found out that the Obamas had produced it, at least some parts of it, and everyone was like, they must know something. People have immediately started focusing on the wrong things and they have completely missed a point, which is literally where predictive programming comes in. I think you are focusing on saving yourself, like you completely missed the point instead of focusing on the overall themes of this movie, which are class and race disparity and the importance of working together and being proactive to prevent the state of our country being so easily pushed to the edge by outside forces. Literally, the predictive programming part is the reaction that we as a society will have and clearly that we are having. And I'm going to be honest, the movie wasn't even that good. And that's just my honest opinion as the unofficial movie critic. The movie was based on a 2020 book by Rumen Alam. And I honestly have not read the book, so please don't ask me about that. But I did hear that there were a lot of things that were changed. So to go back to my point about predictive programming, do I think that the Obamas know something? Are they in on some crazy conspiracy? I don't think so. I think that one of the biggest messages that they had in the movie that we should all take from is how he says that a lot of us Americans, we assume that there are people that are in control. And while this is semi-true, right, to certain degrees, I also think that there is really no one in control but us. And I think that the point that the Obamas are trying to make is, yeah, of course, you know, this could happen. And again, this was a book written in 2020. And I mean, if we take into consideration everything that was happening in that year, but also everything that happened previously, then we can assume that, of course, you know, it could happen, right? Even then, it's not a crazy idea to think that we as Americans, well, can experience a cyber attack or that there can be a civil unrest within the country, again, because of everything that's been happening. This is not the first time that an author has done this. It even feels wrong for me to do an introduction or a summary of this book because of how well known it is. The Handmaid's Tale, it is a book written by Canadian author Margaret Atwood, in which it is set in a dystopian future where women have no rights. And again, for those who have not read this book, the small summary is that the president of the United States is killed during a staged attack, and a small radical political group called the Sons of Jacob takes over. And there are other themes, right? Like environmental decay, radical political groups, religious fanatics, amongst other stuff, right? But one of the most significant plots of the book is how women have their rights limited, especially their reproductive rights. So where does the predictive programming come in for me in this case is that the book was published in 1985, which was a few years after the Supreme Court had decided that the Constitution of the United States, quote unquote, protected the right to have an abortion with Roe v. Wade. Then in 2017, Hulu made a show based on the book, and I just want to say that the beginning seasons were amazing, and then it crumbled, in my opinion. June, I hated her. I'm sorry if you have a different opinion. She just always got on my nerves, always making the wrong choice. I'm like, girl, stand up, but that's besides the point. The bottom line is that I think that as women, even though we always knew that our rights could potentially be stripped, it was still a shock for many of us when on June 24, 2022, the Supreme Court ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization essentially overturned Roe v. Wade. But I want to ask you guys, do you remember what happened before the official ruling came out? Take a moment. There was a quote-unquote leak. Now, I don't want to get all conspiracy theory vibes in this situation, but when it comes to women's rights, I get really, really passionate. And you cannot not assume that obviously there was a motive for this. Again, a month before the official ruling came out, in which the public was to be informed of the decision, there was a leak. I'm trying to understand. I don't know if people understand the magnitude of this event. This is the Supreme Court of the United States that we're talking about. It is one of the most, I mean, you can't even accept, maybe I'm being a politics nerd right now, but this doesn't happen. A leak is just unacceptable. And yes, the leak sparked protests, but they soon died out. And a month later, when the official ruling came out, the public was already, quote unquote, prepared mentally and emotionally. Even if you don't believe in predictive programming as it is intended, it's hard to not believe that sometimes as Americans, it's like, well, wait a minute, are we actually being prepared to react in certain ways, right? And so in 1985 and in 2017, what we thought seemed too crazy to happen, sure, we're not wearing red cloaks, but truly the worst thing that could happen is happening right now. Our reproductive rights are minimal to none. Our uterus are literally being held captive by those who write the laws. We could easily put things into perspective and make educated conclusions if we actually paid attention. I mean, take for example, in 1953, when Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 was, and it is the story of an American society in which literature has been censored and intellectual thought is illegal. And I want to ask all my 90s babies, when did we ever think growing up that this was going to happen? I mean, sure, you go to school and they give you the white, I'm sorry. Sure, we go to school and they give you the PC version American history, right? And that's one thing. And I mean, that's one thing, because essentially you go and you get an education, right? A higher education. You are able to get the real history, quote unquote, right? Now, today, the American Library Association has a website dedicated for Banned Book Week. Can you believe that? And the director of the LEA Office for Intellectual Freedom states in this website that this is a dangerous time for readers and that the public servants who provide access to reading materials, readers, particularly students, are losing access to critical information, and librarians and teachers are under attack for doing their jobs. Ray Bradbury in 1953 was talking about this future being a possibility. And all he had to do was pay attention, right? And throughout the times, we have visionaries such as Margaret Atwood, Ray Bradbury, Dorothy Phillips James, Harry Harrison, I mean, and the iconic Sinclair Lewis, authors whose imaginations and critical analysis skills are able to write incredibly amazing and very possible stories about dystopian futures with themes of environmental decline, political coups, infertility, war, and so on. So here we have people that are telling us, they're warning us, and have been for years of what could possibly happen, yet we don't have any listeners. I don't think that what is happening to us is an effect of predictive programming. I think that it is an effect of people not learning about history and being forced to repeat it. We have become an instant reaction society. Our emotions and positions can quickly change as we move on to the next big story. Yet it is rare for any of us to actually commit to our civic duties and to support a movement far beyond the initial moments of outrage. And to all the people going, well, these aren't predictions. Well, yes, they are. admittedly not about the events itself happening, yes, but about how people would behave and react to the given situation. And in all the stories, we react the same way, by projecting our anger to the wrong goal or the person, by doing nothing, by fighting amongst each other, by literally us contributing to the collapse of the society. And so I am sorry if I disappointed you guys, and if you guys thought that this was going to be one of those crazy conspiracy podcasts where I was, you know, because while I was doing my research, I came across Back to the Future and how, you know, it allegedly predicted 9/11. No, I'm sorry. This is not going to be that. This is just me urging you all to make sure that you never stop reading, that you never stop taking in the knowledge, watching movies, listening to music. I think that, and I'm not trying to school anybody, because trust and believe that I have the attention span of a fly, literally. Yes. And so I am not trying to school anybody. All I'm trying to tell you is that those 1 minute TikTok videos are fine, but I think it is also important for us as a society to be able to indulge in the arts and to be able to indulge in the content that is being created for us by a lot of visionaries, right? And for me, yes, it is books, but also it is movies. And a lot of people that know me know this about me. I'm such a movie. I love movies so much. I mean, Christopher Nolan, right? Interstellar. Wow. I am just like in awe, right? A lot of the times you have movies that are based on books. I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Outsiders, an iconic show, a book that I'm listening right now, an audiobook. And so those are just some examples, right? I don't want to project. All I'm trying to say is that, you know, let's not lose the biggest weapon that we have, and that is our voices, and that is our research, our knowledge, our skills, our humanity. That humanity, that ability to be able to have interpersonal skills. I think it is so important that we don't go back in multiple sectors of this life that we're living. It's like we're already losing reproductive rights. We can have the reading skills of our children, of our nephews or nieces, to be on level two. Like, it just cannot happen. And so what I'm trying to say is that I probably am ranting at this point, but here are some books that have been turned into movies that you can read or watch to get a little afraid and to get a little shook and scared of maybe doing things different. I've seen some of them. I've read a lot of them. And these are just some of my favorite ones. Children of Men. I mean, what an icon. Again, a book that's telling you there will be a time where children will not be born. Like, that's, children are going to cease to exist. And right now, there are a lot of people that don't want to have children, right? And who would have thought, right? I mean, the state of our country, of the world is a mess. Who would want to bring a child into this world at this point right now? But this is a book. And the movie was done by Alfonso Cuarón. What an iconic director. If you have not seen this movie, please, I urge you. It is a piece of art. And I'm not exaggerating, even though I exaggerate and I call iconic. I basically title everybody iconic. But no, I'm not kidding. This is a piece of art. It literally is. It is amazing. Another book is 12 Monkeys. I've seen the movie. When I tell you that I was shook at the end, literally. Green Soyvent, I've seen this movie, amazing. It Can't Happen Here, of course. That is, you know, it's a very real book. So those are just some books that I encourage you to read, but also that some of them have been made into movies. You should definitely check them out. And if you guys have any suggestions for me, I would gladly take them. I hope that you don't think that I'm being pretentious with this podcast again, or I'm trying to school anybody, no way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, if you scroll down through my other episodes, I am like the most unserious person. I'm just kind of like, reading is important. Reading is fundamental, okay? Reading is fundamental. And this is just a topic that interests me a lot, especially as we're going into the 2024 elections. I think that as Americans, we have to take care of each other. We have to protect each other, but not only as Americans, right? Because I am Mexican. And so I just want to say that. And so, yes, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please share it with your friends. Thank you so much.